Our sermon text for this morning is actually an expanded reading of our Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel chapter 33. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and make them their watchmen, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to you, say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, the person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 33, 1 through 11. The theme of the watchman is a recurring theme throughout the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. The duties of the watchman were to stand guard, many times in a high place, in a high watchtower, and be alert, scanning the horizon constantly to look for the enemy and then sound the alarm if he approaches. God has appointed the prophet Ezekiel to be a spiritual watchman, warning those around them of their sinfulness that would lead to their destruction. He lived in the time of the Babylonian captivity of the Israelites, and he himself was taken to Babylon somewhere around 597 BC, 11 years before Jerusalem was ransacked and destroyed in 586, and the southern kingdom of Judah ceases to exist. The northern kingdom was but a memory, having fallen to the Assyrians 120 years earlier. Tradition has it that Ezekiel was a student of Jeremiah, and their messages are very similar, including this theme of setting a watchman over the house of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 6, we hear the Lord's words to a rebellious people. I set a watchman over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. From Jeremiah chapter 6. Ezekiel preaches the very same message as Jeremiah, that Judah would be punished for her sins if she doesn't repent and turn from her sinful ways. But the obstinate Israelites refuse to listen, and God makes good on his promise to punish them for their rebellion. Ezekiel's prophetic mission from the Lord was try to get the people to turn from their ways, and when they don't, explain to those taken into exile why God permitted Judah's captivity. Judah's behavior in the sight of God was an abomination. Other nations around them had been wiped out for just this same behavior. But God was patient, trying to get his people to repent. The destruction of Jerusalem and their exile was an extreme action by God to try to get them to turn back to him and it was a punishment for the sake of correction. They had defiled the temple with the worship of idols, one of which was Asherah, the Canaanite fertility goddess. They had included worshiping animals in their temple practices. And even while the prophets were crying out at the horror of the sacrilege. And still the Israelites digressed further by worshiping the false god Tammuz, a Canaanite fertility god. And if that wasn't enough, they insulted the Creator by bowing down to worship the sun in the east. God finally had enough. And he speaks to Ezekiel and says, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it too light a thing for the house of Judah to commit the abominations that they committed there, that they should fill the land with violence and provoke me still further to anger? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, your slain whom you have laid in the midst of it, they are the meat, and this city is the cauldron, but you shall be brought out of the midst of it. You have feared the sword, and I will bring the sword upon you, declares the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst of it and give you into the hands of foreigners and execute judgments upon you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel, and you will know that I am the Lord. The city will not be your cauldron, nor shall you eat meat in the midst of it. I will judge you at the border of Israel, and you will know that I am the Lord." From Ezekiel chapter 11. Through their punishment, Israel would come to know that God is God. In fact, 62 times in the book of Ezekiel, in its 48 chapters, the expression, "they will know that I am the Lord," appears. But it seems that no matter how many times Ezekiel tries to warn them, they just won't listen. The words of Ezekiel are just as pertinent to us today as they were 2,500 years ago. We can and should take these words to heart. God's message to us today is, in fact, a double-edged sword, because we ought to identify both as the watchmen and as the Israelites. Looking at our culture today, we are the Israelites, stubborn, stiff-necked, obstinate. We refuse to listen to our watchmen who are crying out for us to stop our rebellion, stop our idolatry, stop sinning against God. Will we too need to be punished, taken into exile, for us to know and accept that God is Lord? We are so like them, doing our own thing, worshiping the false gods of money, time, sex, pleasure, everything that is an abomination in the Lord's sight. In recent years, mankind has even taken the rainbow, forever a sign of God's covenant of grace with humanity, and made it a symbol of the homosexual lifestyle, which opposes the Word of God and His will for our lives. The world has taken to celebrating sinfulness under the guise that it is the loving thing to do, accepting both the person and their sinfulness. Yet this is just one of the many abominations that is occurring in our world today, with new and more depraved sins on the horizon. And I'm sure you're fully aware of your own sins, the things that you struggle with, whatever they may be. Will God be forced to take drastic measures, such as what happened with the Israelites, to get us to repent and turn to Him as we acknowledge His words, "I am the Lord"? And for us to acknowledge those words is for us to repent, plead for mercy, and be forgiven of our sin, and become watchmen ourselves. Forgiven of our sin, we are tasked with sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with all people. Here is where we struggle. If we speak out against things like homosexuality or abortion, we are labeled as unloving, intolerant, a bigot of the worst kind, so we tend to keep quiet. But then we must ask ourselves, Do we fully embrace the greatest commandment that the Lord our God has given us? To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we did, we wouldn't just depend on pastors to be the only watchmen, warning others about their sinfulness, but we would be yelling from the rooftops ourselves. Lives are at stake, and if we don't tell them, warn them of their impending destruction, who will? Society is sure not going to tell them. Its message is exactly the opposite. And pastors are just a small group of men with limited influence. My message today will only reach about 130, 140 people. But if you take this message into the world, how many more people could we reach with God's saving word? So we need to tell them. We need to practice the preaching guidelines that pastors are taught, that the message proclaimed should be 50% law, 50% gospel. Tell them of their sins, but don't stop there. Tell them of the Savior, the only true God who has come to us in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who, taking our sins upon himself, died for us on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, appeasing an angry God, but giving us life eternally in heaven. We don't have to be captured by our enemy, sin, death, the devil, and then taken into exile. God has given us the keys to our prison. If we only just listen and believe his words and know that he is the Lord, the great I am, our sins can be and are forgiven in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we say those words, we need to listen to them ourselves. Being a watchman isn't easy. At times we'll be persecuted, ridiculed, called unloving, a bigot even. And that may cause us not to speak. Elijah and Jeremiah both struggled with this, and we will too. But I encourage you, be bold in your faith, loving God above all, knowing that if you stumble, God will forgive you and bear you up if you depend on him. His grace and his mercy is real. His forgiveness is absolute. His love unending. Know that I am his Lord, and be the watchman you were called to be, to the glory of his holy name. Amen.